We're going to talk about Islam, the appeal of Islam to youth. Why? What would be so appealing about Islam to youth, especially to young men, particularly in the Middle East? Joining me by phone today, Dr. Timothy Furnish. He has a PhD in Islamic history from The Ohio State University. Tell us a little bit about, tell us about your background, your experience. You do a number of things today, working as a writer, a blogger, a consultant to the U.S. military. Tell us about your background and what drew you to that interest of studying Islamic history?
Well, a lot of it was serendipitous or divine. I'm not sure which one. I graduated from undergraduate and went to law school, and I hated it so bad I quit and joined the Army. And I wound up, this was back in the 80s when most of us, I went into Army intelligence and wanted to get a language and signed up for a language. And I was hoping to get Russian, of course. This was the height of the Cold War. And for some strange reason, I was the only person in my intelligence class that got Arabic.
Where does the history of Islam begin?
It's akin to Judaism and Christianity in many ways. It's a monotheistic religion. It is not. Sometimes you'll see these typologies where Judaism and Christianity are posited as Western religions, and Islam is an Eastern religion, but that's not true at all. In many ways, it draws upon heretical movements within Christianity. There's a lot in the Quran that resembles things that show up in books that didn't make it into the New Testaments, for instance, the Gospel of Thomas and some of the apocryphal books. But when Muhammad came along in the 7th century, his death date is usually given as 632 A.D., that he basically had come into contact with Jews, particularly Christians in the Arabian Peninsula and environs, and then sort of cobbled together out of that a religion that in some ways resembles Judaism and Christianity, but in many other ways is quite different. It's very clear that a considerable number of things in the Quran are almost verbatim, translation being allowed into Arabic, verbatim takings or borrowings from some of the apocryphal, so-called apocryphal gospels. I do not think the Quran is evil. There is a lot in the Quran that is violent, that is misogynistic, clearly. And I've done a lot of talks and lectures and over the last 6 months over this issue of beheading, because ISIS, mm-hmm. the Islamic State of Iraq and al-Sham or Syria, is very fond of beheading. And some years ago, I wrote an article on this topic. So I've done a lot of interviews on this topic, for instance, and beheadings are clearly in two different passages of the Quran enjoined up by Muslims upon what they call non-believers, that is, anyone that's not a Muslim. There's also some good stuff. There is no other world religion on the planet that explicitly mentions Jesus besides the New Testament except for the Quran.
What is the life of a Muslim? What is life all about? What is life and death all about when it comes to Islam?
Well, it's very legalistic. One achieves salvation if one does, because it is never up to one. One can never be assured of salvation. In the final analysis, once you die and judgment comes, Allah will decide. If you follow Islamic law, if you follow the other strictures, you know, pray five times a day, the so-called five pillars of Islam, pray five times a day, fast during Ramadan, make the Hajj once in your life if you can, give alms or zakat to the poor, if you do these legalistic mechanisms, basically, you will hopefully please Allah enough that you will go to heaven and not to hell.
What is life like in cultures, in parts of the world where Islam is the predominant religion? What is
No nation that is a majority Muslim, I should say, has ever really disestablished Islam as the religion, except for Turkey. And for people that don't have any strong religious beliefs themselves, Islam can certainly be very appealing. It's very simple. You know, God is one. There's no Trinity. You know, all you have to do is say, La ilaha illa Allah wa Muhammad Rasulullah three times. There is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger three times, and you're a Muslim. You know, you don't have to learn those long creeds that we have on Sunday. Certainly, you don't have to ever wade through the Athanasian Creed. So it's very simple in many ways. I think it also appeals to a certain mindset, and I don't think this is paranoid to say this. I think it's safe to say that, particularly in the public schools in the West, that Christianity has been getting the short end of the stick for decades. I mean, again, I taught college history. I reviewed certainly high school history textbooks sometimes for publishers. And it was clear that, you know, for instance, you often would get the worst view of Christianity presented. Christianity, the Crusades, you know, people just, a lot of it is just frankly ignorance. They fall for this. I blame two people, Voltaire and Marx. I mean, the left takes their cues, if you go back far enough, And not that this was all bad, but Voltaire's idea of, you know, not forcing someone to be a religion because the state is that religion. And, you know, that sort of idea of the Enlightenment ultimately was part of our founding in this country, where we divorced, we did not have an official religion at the federal level. But then that gets compounded for many on the left as you come up through the 19th century and early 20th century with Marx, who was, I think it's safe to say, much more even openly hostile to Christianity. And on the left, and, you know, by that I mean capital L left, not necessarily the, you know, the Democrat that works on the assembly line, but I mean the hard L left ideologue types, many of whom write curricula and teach in our schools, they think that Christianity, to go harken back to what I said a bit earlier, Christianity is the only Christian civilization and the Christian church, the only entities that are ever oppressive and colonial and all that sort of thing. Basically, one of the tenets, one of the primary tenets of higher education, again, which is dominated by the left, is that basically our religions more or less teach the same thing. You know, this, we see this all the time in the media, in the President of the United States making speeches. You know, Islam is a religion of peace. I'm like, really? Have you actually read that book? And of course, people will come back and say, well, but the, like Combs did with me, but the Old Testament, this, that, and the other. And I said, well, and I would say, of course, but there's not a global movement of long bearded Orthodox rabbis seeking to impose the Torah on you at the point of a sword. There is, however, a global movement of Muslim guys, many of which have long beards, seeking to impose Islam on you at the point of a sword. So, you know, don't deny reality. Some people will take umbrage when you will say Islam is different. And the best you can do is just, you know, try to be informed and then, you know, politely try to correct those views.
To speak the truth and speak the truth in love.